Okay, here we are. There's an incredible amount of material to try to wade through and present in a logical, pragmatic fashion each day. 7 days a week here, we're doing it for you, and more people are coming. The site is growing like a weed, and I think that's because more and more are realizing they're going to get a fair shake at reality here. We don't have any particular agendas to push except as much of the truth as we can discern. And what we are doing here is again, I call it speculative scientific investigation. We don't know, but we're trying to connect the dots and put the puzzle together for you, at least to give you options upon which to base and predicate your own final decisions. And there are people now who continue to report that mind implantation of ideas and thoughts is apparently being used on a very wide scale in this country. And the thoughts that are being implanted into people's minds at random, apparently, are, I guess I'm going to go ahead and get the shot. Why not? I can at least go and see my friends. We can go to the ball game. We can do this and that. These are mind control EMF advanced technologies that are putting thoughts in people's minds. Most people think that if they've got a thought in their head, it's their own private domain. It's their thought. Nothing could be further from the truth. We no longer live in that time. We're past that technologically. Here are a few headlines if you missed them earlier. A nurse has written to me today via a friend and said that they are transfusing the blood of vaccinated people into those who have not been vaxxed and who have been diagnosed with COVID. Again, however the hell they're doing that. All of those unvaccinated patients who received the blood of vaccinated people died, as far as this nurse and her knowledge and her professional connections can determine. They're dead. The point, don't get blood transfusions, period. Don't do it. The blood is hopelessly tainted and contaminated. We don't know what's in it exactly, what's causing these people to die, but it's another way to make sure that the unvaxxed are out of the picture. The CDC now wants all Afghan refugees coming here to eat dangerous and even lethal ivermectin for 2 days prior to being flown here. What do you think they're up to? Kind of admitting maybe that ivermectin works? I think so. FOIA documents reveal that Fauci funded the construction of chimeric coronaviruses. That's a direct quote. Chimeric coronaviruses funded by Fauci, probably with American tax dollars. Now do you understand? Do you get it? I think you do. The World Health Organization has also gone on record as telling all of us, in fact the world, that the Marburg virus, hemorrhagic fever, is next to be released upon us. Or, as they would say it, to visit us. So there you go. It's not looking good, and we will continue to do our best for you. Back tonight is our colleague, Erica Kahn, who has contributed so much to this quest of understanding that, believe me, there are people all over the world listening to these broadcasts and learning. And they're being helped by it. Welcome back, Erica.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be back.
Seems like we just talked. And I guess we did.
I know, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, last night, tonight, and then Wednesday we'll be back at it tomorrow night as well. Okay, there has been a lot of talk since the beginning of this about HIV in the vax or being part of the vax mechanism. And we're going to discuss that in some length here to try to put that into its proper and legitimate perspective. So you want to go ahead and tell us the background, and then we'll introduce this video. We're going to pull sections from Dr. Michael McDowell. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of talk ever since the beginning of when this pandemic was announced that this was not a normal coronavirus, that it had features of HIV integrated into it. And that's since been shown to be true. I mean, there's no way. The consensus is, of course, now that it did not arise naturally from a bat in a wet market. No how, no way, because of these features of an HIV virus that are undeniably present. And that's the evidence that this thing was deliberately manufactured, most likely as a weapon. What they were intending to do with it, I you know, can only guess. I mean, they're clearly playing with it in a lab for some purpose.
Right.
You know, and the fact that HIV is known to induce, you know, a chronic immune deficiency state that ultimately results in destruction of the immune system should alarm anybody. But I don't think it's as bad as what's being painted by some people right now. The HIV proteins that are actually present in this coronavirus at the time of its discovery are merely structural proteins, which, yes, it can enhance the cells that it's able to infect, where a normal coronavirus can only infect cells that express a ACE2 receptor. Having this envelope protein that's unique to HIV also present would enable it theoretically to also infect T cells. Does that actually happen, though? There's debate about whether or not this coronavirus can infect T cells, possibly in some circumstances, but it doesn't seem to be doing that. Maybe that's what was intended. But in terms of having actually the reverse transcriptase present that it would need to be identical to AIDS or HIV, it does not have that. And I think that's a misconception out there. It can be integrated into the DNA. There's a recently published study, peer-reviewed published study, indicating that it can and does integrate under certain circumstances into a host DNA. But it would require, you know, certain conditions for that to happen. It doesn't happen all the time in every person. So that's just for purposes of accuracy that I say that.
Right. Why is it that some people act like the real truth of these so-called vaccines is really not much more than HIV on steroids? That's what they're running around doing. They're just pushing this constantly.
I think most people just don't comprehend, you know, viruses or viral infections and the host response. I mean, certainly there are people that have this so-called long COVID. And the reasons for that are myriad. I mean, it most likely these people that cannot overcome this viral infection are co-infected with certain other types of viruses, such as Epstein-Barr virus, that make this thing chronic and nearly impossible to overcome.
Right.
The other situation is if somebody is co-infected with a retrovirus, such as, well, HIV would be one, gamma retroviruses would be another, that could make this very difficult to overcome and could result in a, you know, long-standing, chronic, persistent infection.
Right. Very good. All right. Dr. Michael McDowell, I believe, was making this statement. I don't know the location, but we've got a video of it. It's very interesting. We're going to play several segments from it. And you want to introduce the first segment? We'll jump right in. You're ready.
Oh, go ahead and play. He's got some good words.
All right, here we go. It's Dr. Michael McDowell.
I want you to know, people, that on this Earth, 22 nations on planet Earth have what we call BSL-4 labs. A BSL-4 lab means biosafety level 4. Biosafety level 4 is the highest level of biosafety. And in these labs, they make pathogens, deadly pathogens. I also want you to know that 16 nations on planet Earth stockpile genetic bioweapons. 16 nations stockpile. They have them in their armory. There's a new arms race going on. And I want to give you a quote from Dr. Francis Boyle.
All right, this is a quote from Dr. Francis Boyle. We'll hold that and get to it in just a minute. Go ahead.
I just want to say that I know there's a lot of people out there that have refused all along to subscribe to this, the fact that there's a virus or the idea that there's a virus causing this illness.
Uh-huh.
I think that's not very helpful. we don't really know, you know, what's causing it. It might be viral. It might be just pure and simple 5G, EMFs.
Graphene oxide
are on the table.
Nanolipids, Spike protein,
any number of things, or just virus-like synthetic particles.
That works for me in a very important way. It answers a lot of questions. Yet it is not a full-blown virus. It's virus particles. Very good.
Yeah, and they can do that now. This can be totally synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there are 22 BSL-4. That's the highest level of biosecurity that they have in terms of working with pathogens. You know, if there were no such thing as viruses, these types of facilities would be unnecessary.
They wouldn't exist.
So, right.
Basically.
And by saying there's no such thing as a virus, you're essentially saying there's no such thing as RNA or DNA, because that's what's being toyed with and weaponized, enhanced.
Very
and
good.
If they get into a host and you set up shop, they can be deadly.
Yes, and are being deadly. Okay. 22 countries, 16 of them are alleged to be stockpiling biological weapons of advanced to very advanced capability right now. Now, the 22 countries don't necessarily mean that those countries and their governments are funding the laboratories in their own country, right? These could be foreign funded easily. And we have labs overseas. This country does. So, all right. That's just to give you an idea. And, I think we go back to what Erica just said. If there were no viruses, these labs wouldn't exist, basically. There'd be no reason. So I think when you talk about viral fragments and particles that can do things synthetic, then you're getting real close to hitting it out of the park. I'm pretty sure that's where we are. And I'm not the scientist. Erica is. All right, here we go. Let me hear this quote by Francis Boyle, recited by Dr. Michael McDowell. Then we'll jump ahead.
Francis Boyle, the framer of the Anti-Terrorism Act, says this. International law expert, bioweapons expert, SARS-CoV-2 is an offensive biological warfare agent made in a lab and engineered with gain-of-function properties.
Okay, there it is again. This is being called a bioweapon by a lot of people now, and I think it's high time. All right.
Indeed.
Let's see. We've got to stop calling this a virus and a vaccine and we're getting just dragged down with this archaic terminology that doesn't fit with what we're dealing with. All right.
Yeah, it's not allowing us to, I think, be forward in our thinking here of what all is involved.
They're holding us back as much as they can. All right, let's go ahead with Dr. Michael McDowell again.
Indian scientists did an analysis on the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and they said they definitely found elements of the HIV virus in the genomic sequencing. So this was confirmed by a team from India. And let me mention to you that HIV is a retrovirus. Retroviruses use mRNA to inject their stuff into the cell. And when the mRNA is injected into the cell, there is something called retrointegration that takes place. And that means that the mRNA is converted back into DNA, and then it coalesces with the chromosomal DNA of the host.
Okay, Erica, comment on that.
Okay, that's where he messed up, but we'll give him a pass. There is no reverse transcriptase in the coronavirus. And it's not entering the DNA. This is a single-stranded RNA virus. It works in the cytoplasm. It gets read immediately by the ribosome and replicates that way. It does not contain reverse transcriptase as HIV does. The only segments of HIV that are in this coronavirus are structural proteins and envelope proteins. So breathe a sigh of relief.
Okay. All right. I think we can put the big HIV scare to sleep. It's not there. It's
yes.
Simply structural issues. All right. Very good. Okay. Next clip from Dr. Michael McDowell, who did quite a presentation here, as you'll hear. It just gets actually better. So here, let's go into this. This is 11:40. Here we go.
Edwin was is the head of biology and the head of chemical biology at Harvard University. He was. And this guy used to train graduate Chinese students. Yes, that's him up on the screen. Used to train graduate Chinese students in his lab. He's a microbiologist of the highest note, and he has received over $15 million in defense contracts from the United States government to do just that, create genetic bioweapons.
He's talking about Dr. Charles Lieber, who some of you may remember as having been in the news about a year ago now, I guess. And so he does want to put a lot of weight on Lieber at this point, so let me go ahead a little further with this.
Two of his students were arrested at the Logan International Airport in December 2019, smuggling 21 vials of sensitive biological material to Wuhan, China. Wow. Even Charles Lieber himself was arrested by the FBI on January 28, 2020, for espionage with China. He was their consultant and actually was a hands-on builder of the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan, China. China has won the Luke's BSL-4 lab. It was built by Charles Lieber through his consultancy. He was paid $150 million to do that and had a salary of $50,000 a month from China. Amen.
Okay, Erica?
Well, yes, Charles Lieber is heavily involved with the Chinese. He's known for his work with nanowires. And more involved, and I find it hard to believe that he had anything to do with this particular weaponized coronavirus. His work is mostly concentrating on how to develop the brain to AI interface with these sensors and nanowires, and who knows what he's doing. But as far as being involved with in this fiasco, I don't think he's a part of it.
Other than the building or overseeing the construction of and design of the Wuhan BSL-4 lab, for which
Correct.
He was paid $150 million U.S. Otherwise, it's not, according to what we can determine, in his direct line of sight interest. He's doing other things, correct?
My understanding also was that this SARS virus originated out of a BSL-2 lab, so fairly low security, which makes you think, if Charles Lieber is operating in a BSL-4 lab with nanowires and sensors, what is he doing?
That I hadn't heard, and that's actually kind of, I would say, scary, but I don't know if that's the right word. It's out, and Pfizer has made close to $100 billion in 9 months already, and now they're coming out with their two pills a day prescriptions, and I guarantee you they're not going to be a 50 cents a pill, so you can figure it out. All right, let's see. Two pills a day. You get their shot, you got to take in these pills.
Well, you want to enhance the effects of the vaccine, whatever those are.
Enhance the effects of the bioweapon.
Right.
Okay. All right, here we go back with Dr. McDowell. Now, he's pretty good from here on out.
This is a pandemic of variants, amen, and there is something called recombination. Listen to me carefully. Why aren't our virologists telling us this, amen? Recombination means that a vaccinated host can be infected by more than one variant at one time. Oh, big deal. Delta variant is in Trinidad. You heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, Dr. Peter McCullough says they don't have enough letters in the Greek alphabet to name the variants. Amen. In fact, there are over 100 variants already floating around all over the globe. Some put it as 185. If a vaccinated host is infected, co-infected by more than one variant, the variants, when they get inside, they have a little party. And they mix, and they change DNA, and they camouflage, and they mix their DNA. The recombinant DNA technology takes place, and it produces a super variant.
Yeah.
Amen. And if super variants are produced, nothing can stop them. And already they are saying that the latest variant to come out is vaccine resistant. Well, this is just the beginning. Dr. Gert van den Bosch warns He said, if we do not immediately stop mass vaccination campaigns all around the world will experience an international catastrophe of mass mortality. I didn't say that. He did.
I think I do agree with Dr. Van den Bosch on that. And Dr. McDowell repeating it, I think, is worthy and correct. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I Van der Bosch nailed it several months ago now, and saying that these vaccines, number one, they're being introduced in the midst of a pandemic, so we're way late to the party to try to have any effect. And then it's a leaky vaccine. It does not produce sterilizing immunity. So you're able to be infected, but you may not have symptoms. So therefore, you're infected and you can spread the virus without even knowing you're infected. And because of the selective pressure, it will be a more virulent form of the virus.
Well, we talked about a couple of days ago, the blood supply being, in my words, hopelessly contaminated now and dangerous. Has been given some credibility. I did have a note today from that nurse, as I mentioned, that reported that her colleagues are telling her that the blood from vaxxed people is being given to unvaxxed people when the situation warrants it, and they're all dying. There's something in the blood of vaxxed people that is causing death. That's what I'm
told. Well, I am hearing from any practitioner who is using live blood analysis in their practice,
right,
the blood of the vaccinated people is awful. It's completely unhealthy, and it's hard to believe that. Obviously, they don't do live blood analysis when they accept blood donations. They just, I don't know
what
they do with it now.
It's incredible. They just take the blood
and
split it up.
It's very sick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, it's all homogenized with a bunch of other people's blood. But yeah, this is not healthy blood.
Yeah. I don't know how many different products they make with blood, but it ultimately is split into a number of different products. But, yes, they just dump it all into the same kettle, so to speak, stir it up, and then work with it from there. The individual donations are not checked. I mean, you'd think that a dark field microscope would be standard operating procedure in any clinic or any doctor's office that really did any kind of serious work. I would think. I would want that, because we've seen pictures of blood from recently vaxxed people. It looks like a train wreck.
It's
a catastrophe. And there are even complaints from doctors that they put a needle in somebody to try to draw the sample and it won't come out. It's that clotted up or messed up or stuck together, agglutinated, whatever you want to call it. It's ruined.
What's even more alarming is that one incident, that was Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, who was doing a ozone treatment. And even when she went to put the blood back in, she had trouble. As if the ozone didn't really remedy anything.
Didn't do its thing. That's very concerning. Ozone in blood is extraordinarily effective on many different accounts, and in that it didn't straighten this blood out. That's bad. That is a very bad sign. All right, let's go back and listen some more to Dr. Michael McDowell. All right.
Vaccinated are a threat to us all. However, amen, we must treat the vaccinated kindly, amen, with great empathy, amen, with prayer.
I'm going to back this up just a little bit. He's talking about the vaccinated and the unvaccinated.
185. If a vaccinated host is infected, co-infected by more than one variant, the variants, when they get inside their little party, and they mix, and they change DNA, and they camouflage, and they mix their DNA, the recombinant DNA technology takes place, and it produces a super variant.
Yeah.
Amen. And if super variants are produced, nothing can stop them. And already they are saying that the latest variant that come out is vaccine resistant. Well, this is just the beginning. Dr. Gert Van den Bosch warns He said, if we do not immediately stop mass vaccination campaigns all around the world will experience an international catastrophe of mass mortality. I didn't say that. He did. The vaccinated are a threat to us all. However, amen, we must treat the vaccinated kindly, amen, with great empathy, amen, with prayer, amen, and with humanity and love, amen. Thank you, my brother. Yeah. Amen. So no discrimination against the vaccinated.
That's right.
Amen. So, yes.
I mean, I like the applause there, but in all seriousness, until we know more about shedding, and we don't know enough yet, we have to err, if you want to say it that way, on the side of caution. You don't want to be in a room or an office or a working environment with 10 or 12 or 15 vaxxed people if you have not been vaxxed. There's too much data. Yes, I know a lot of it's anecdotal, but there's too much data out there that there is shedding of something that's pathological going on, and people are vulnerable if they have not been vaxxed. They get something. And this is a dangerous situation.
Yeah, I do recall early on. I mean, there's many, many anecdotes to support that there's certainly something being spread. But one case comes to mind. Early on, there was a gentleman that was living with his elderly mother, and he had, I guess, kept his distance from her. You know, was fairly cautious about interacting with her for the entire 12 months of the pandemic or whatever it was. And as soon as the vaccine became available, he went out and he got it and then began to interact with his mother. And within a day, 24 hours, she was dead from a stroke.
No existing serious comorbidities.
No,
she got a stroke.
I mean, she was elderly, but you know, she'd been fine throughout the pandemic,
right.
But he gets the vax and begins to have, you know, closer contact.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I don't know how else
so,
to read
you know,
that.
And this Dr. McDowell also mentions this possibility of viral recombination, and this is separate and apart from just variants arising due to selective pressure. When you have a viral recombination, you're actually taking genetic material from one distinct virus and swapping it with another virus. And the conditions are ripe for that to happen with these vaccines, because they're, particularly with the mRNA, just these isolated strands of genetic material that code for fusion proteins, which many viruses might like to acquire that fusion protein, i.e. the spike protein. So who knows what these, I mean, everybody's got viruses in them.
Millions.
So, yeah, it's just part of your natural microbiome. You have something called a virome. So that's normal. You know, when you're healthy, it's not an issue. In fact, sometimes they're actually beneficial because they keep more pathogenic viruses or bacteria at bay. So when everything's in homeostasis, it's fine. But now you've introduced this, number one, it's a stress. It's an abnormal, brutal stress on the immune system. And you're providing genetic material for everything. I mean, not only your own cells, but all the bacteria and viruses and fungi that live on you and in you. Who knows what they're going to do with that?
Exactly. Okay. Let's go back to Dr. McDowell.
Yes, amen. So let me just close by saying this. Let me mention also antibody-dependent enhancement, which is an autoimmune situation that also surfaces during mass vaccination. And I'm going to just piggyback and do a kind of add-on to some of the things that Bishop Gill said. This section is called Follow the Money, and it's going to be quick. The pharmaceutical industry benefited from a law, the resurgence of a law, called the DTC law, direct-to-consumer law, that became very prevalent in 1997. It allowed pharmaceutical companies to advertise prescription drugs directly through mass media to their customers and consumers. This changed the game, because it meant that the pharmaceutical industry could pour millions and millions of dollars into the media. And therefore, they effectively own the media and control the media. The pharmaceutical industries also control the WHO, as Dr. Gill mentioned. In fact, 60-70% of the funding of the World Health Organization comes from the pharmaceutical industries. But that's not all. The pharmaceutical industries also control the U.S. legislature, the medical research journals. Medical research journals, you can't publish nothing unless they approve. Even the scientific journals, the medical schools where doctors are trained are controlled by the pharmaceutical industry. And now they have come home to us, even onto our own shores, where they have co-opted control of national governments, public health authorities, the medical fraternity, the media, the business sector, and I'm sorry to say, the ecclesiastical leaders as well. Amen. So I want you to know that the elected, the elite, and the ecclesiastics have struck hands together, and they have decided they're going to vaccinate the entire world, and that's what we are suffering from. Amen. So we Trinidad and Tobago, we are not following the real science. This is the real science. Mm-hmm. Amen. And this real science is being suppressed and censored.
Right.
Amen. We are effectively following the dictates of the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
Amen. In other words, we're not following the science, we're following the money.
Right.
Amen. And I am shocked to see,
right.
I see giants in the church world falling. Yeah. Because they have been, it is a funny thing for the state to control the medical apparatus of a nation.
Wow. Yeah.
If the state dictates to the medical apparatus what to do, if they dictate to the business owners what to do, if they dictate to the churches what to do, are we still in a democracy?
Hmm.
Are we still in a democracy? Have we crossed the line? And this is my last submission. Let me close with this. This is the death graph. By the way, Francis Boyle calls BSL4 labs death factories.
Yes.
He calls that work death science. 13,000 U.S. scientists work in that field. 13,000. Here's a death graph. I want to use as my pivotal date, a date that the Prime Minister will remember very well. Tuesday, the 6th of April, 2021. That was the day on which Dr. Keith Christopher Rowley was supposed to be vaccinated, but he came down so sad with COVID-19 infection. But April 6, 2021 is also the day that the public mass vaccination campaign in Trinidad and Tobago was implemented. It started. I want to use that as a central point. If I go back to March 2020, between March 2020 and April 6, 2021, 145 people died in Trinidad and Tobago. 145. Yes. And then, using April 6, 2021 again as a key point, from April 6, 2021 to August 13th, that's yesterday, because I only have figures up to yesterday, to August 13th, 2021, that's 4 months, 1,022 people have died. 1,022 people have died in 4 months, as opposed to 145 people. So when the public vaccination campaign started, a death spike began, and in a few months, 1,022 people died. 14% of people died before the vaccine. 86% of the people died after the vaccine. And Gert Van Den Bosch, in his model, he predicts that this is what would happen.
Exactly.
And it's happening in 90% of the countries all over the world.
Right.
Amen. It means that the vaccines are causing the death spike. Let me say that again. The vaccines are causing the death spike. The vaccinated are the spike. Amen. Which is why our public health authorities cannot release the data and the statistics to show the deaths of the vaccinated. One doctor tried, and I haven't seen her since. On your screen, that graph, you see that spike at the end of the graph? Where I'm sitting on the right-hand side of the graph, it may be opposite for you. A spike, the bottom of that spike, the bottom of that hill, is April 6th, 2021. From that point on, the spike just keeps going up. That graph has never been shown on a COVID briefing. What they do is they present segmented, compartmentalized graphs of different facets, but they never show you. This is the master graph. This linear graph of deaths is the master graph. It's still rising, people, since the vaccination rollout. I close by saying this. Amen. Noah and his family resisted the whole world,
amen,
in standing against the evil of their day. Come on, amen. Daniel Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Amen. Stood against an empire and won. Come on, somebody. Esther changed the command of a king by her faith and her prayer. Amen. So I want to encourage all you Christians out there.
Yes.
You think you're fighting a Goliath? Amen. Well, David defeated Goliath. In my Bible, David defeated Goliath.
Yes.
Amen. Don't worry about the size of your opponent. What? Bother about the size of your God.
Oh,
amen.
Hallelujah.
God will prevail.
Yes.
I optimistically submit to you, prophetically submit to you, that this house, this international house of cards will crumble. There's going to be an international scandal, and all those who are aiding and abetting it will find themselves in trouble.
Okay. Dr. Michael McDowell, Trinidad, Tobago. Very interesting perspective. Really nothing radically new, but he is he's obviously dedicated. He did mention that one woman doctor had tried to bring the stats forward, and he hasn't seen her since. The audience didn't get that. I got it, and I think all of you got it. This is not a joke. They kill people all the time. And that graph was graphic. Excuse the pun. It's a joke when you don't pay attention to these things. Life is just a joke. You've got to pay attention to reality. And finding it is hard for people who think that MSNBC and CNBC and CNN are going to tell them the truth. Even Fox. Doesn't matter. You're not going to find reality there. You will not find it. And you will suffer for that. And he said another thing that's very, very obvious, and that's that you follow the money, and the big pharmaceuticals run everything. Governments, countries, it doesn't matter. It's all about money. And there it is.
Yeah, you can pretty much buy anything now, including, you know, the scientists.
Oh, I think they're eminently purchasable or eminently removable, and a lot of them get removed, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sell, they die. Okay. In Australia, things continue to be horrific. The World Health Organization, as I mentioned earlier, says that Marburg virus, a hemorrhagic fever, is next to be released or next to be worldwide or to break out among us. Why would they say that? Why do you think that they'd say that? The only answer that makes sense is because they know. Right? So this is a hemorrhagic fever. Tell us a little bit more about Marburg, then I'll play this other video.
Well, Marburg is known as the deadly form of Ebola. I mean, as if Ebola isn't deadly enough. I think Ebola has a fatality rate of about 30%, maybe 40%. But Marburg is up close to 80 to 90%. So, I mean, I guess the good thing is it's not an aerosolized one, unless they've done something to it. It's normally you need direct contact with bodily fluids.
If they have aerosolized this in one of the BSL-4 labs in 22 different countries, one, it wouldn't surprise me, but two, we're in deep trouble. If this is an aerosol spread or vectored virus, Marburg, it will annihilate most of the planet if it gets loose and it circulates. And it otherwise, it's a direct contact transmission. That gives us some chance to be careful. But otherwise, wow. I've said from the beginning, going back just about 2 years ago now, this December, that if this doesn't work, this current paradigm with the bioweapon vax, they're going to release something else that will scare the hell out of everyone if they're not already afraid enough. And you can't beat people up worldwide with this kind of fear. This is unprecedented. Now, if you're going to turn Marburg loose, can you imagine the
fear? The interesting thing is that... With the Ebola, ivermectin was actually shown to be effective in curtailing the infection. So I suspect that may be similar for a Marburg virus. But isn't it interesting that they've now literally taken ivermectin out of circulation? They've just shut down all supply of it, virtually. I mean, there's people, vaccine-damaged people right now that were getting relief from their symptoms, their seizures and neurological symptoms from taking ivermectin, and they've since run out. There's no pharmacy that has it in stock. Many of the animal supply stores that had it no longer have it. And these people are suffering, and they can't get it for anything. It's gone.
Well, as you heard, they're giving it to all the Afghanis they're bringing over here to insert in our society, in our country, for 2 days before they fly them in here. I wonder what they're doing that for. You think it might work? Just maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a horse dewormer. Why?
It's truly incredible. Yeah. If you can go to your local horse supply store and still find any, I would suggest you get it. Very seriously.
Definitely, yeah.
I don't know how it works with helping the vaxxed people. I don't believe it's going to revert a genetic change or alteration in a mass cellular dispersion in the body of the vaxxed person, but symptomatically it does seem to be able to at least retard some of the activity. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, there are vaccine-damaged people with serious symptoms that were, I mean, almost, I wouldn't say restored, but they were able to get back to having a somewhat normal life with ivermectin.
Very good. That's critically important. And right away, this should enrage everyone listening about this alleged government we have. This is not a government.
Yeah, it's criminal.
It's a criminal enterprise. That's all it is. All right. In Australia, the people there are suffering dramatically, terribly, as you know. I'm going to play a little bit of a video of a Qantas airline captain. It will be self-explanatory, so let me just run into that.
Can't go to cities because they're all locked down. I can't hug me grandkids, they're in the next town. And even with my mask on, you can still see me frown. I still call Australia home. Well, here we go again. My name's Graham Hood, and I am a 53-year veteran in aviation. I've been a pilot for 53 years. I've been an employee of Qantas for 32 years and had my command with Qantas for 32 years. I've been employed by TAA, Australian Airlines, Air Queensland, Bush Pilot Airways. I've been a crop dusting pilot. I have been a charter pilot. I've flown the venerable DC-3 around Cape York and the Gulf of Carpentaria. And I'm a very proud Australian and a proud employee of Qantas. But that's all struggling with me a little bit at the moment. I have flown some 35,000 hours. I have done 20,000 takeoffs and landings. I have spent 2,800 nights or so in hotel rooms. That amounts to almost 8 years in hotel rooms. I've done 175 simulators. I think I've passed all of them. I've been thoroughly tested with over 50 medical examinations to hold my license. And everything I stand for is now being threatened by a ridiculous mandate that I cannot support. It's a mandate that all aviation workers in the industry are now being forced to adopt, and that is no jab, no job. And a timeline's been set on no jab, no job. I've done a lot in my career. I'm very proud of what I've achieved in my career. I left school at the age of 13. I stopped going to school at 13. I had a juvenile criminal record by the time I was 17. I've struggled with all life's issues. I've made several television programs about my addiction to pornography over the years that I've struggled with, the things that have taken me to the edge. I've been so close to the black dog pushing me over a cliff a couple of times years back that I don't like to recall. It's all out there. I don't care what people think of me. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I just try hard not to stick my arm in the toilet. I work with my wife running a ministry that supports the adult victims of childhood sexual abuse. My wife was one of those. She appeared in the Royal Commission the Sexual Abuse Royal Commission. I deal a lot with men who have pornography addiction and who are depressed and suicidal. I've been in welfare in the company unofficially for many years. I've been a trusted confidant of many a pilot and flight attendant who I've worked with. I feel I have the respect and love and gratitude of a lot of people I've worked with over the years because I've always tried to keep it real and I've always been really honest. And that's why I'm making this video now. I'm making this video now because I think what's going on is absolutely criminal. I am not against vaccinations. Everybody who makes videos like this says that, but I can back it up. I gave approval for my mother in a nursing home to be vaccinated with Pfizer 6 months ago, obviously not knowing what I know now. I have also been jabbed for tetanus just recently after being bitten by a feral cat at the farm. I'm not against vaccinations. Am I about to retire anyway and live off a fat superannuation scheme? No, I need to work for another 2 years, if possible. I don't have any super left because while I might have been a good pilot, I've been a very bad financial manager, and issues in my life have caused me to go down some wrong pathways financially. If I lose my job, I will lose my income, and that will leave me completely without funds. I live on a self-sufficient property with my wife, who has degrees in nursing, law and psychology, who has many friends in the healthcare sector who are nurses who she's worked with all her life, who are still working and who are perplexed by these draconian rules that apply to them in order that they must have to be jabbed to keep their job, and they do not trust the vaccine from what they've seen. They don't believe that it's been properly tested and they believe it's been rushed through, and so do many doctors. I ask you to look at the website, which is the CMN, the COVID Medical Network. There is a letter there, an 8-page letter, which states all of the concerns that anybody must be experiencing if they've held back on this vaccine. The fact that they're holding back is because they're not relying on Karl Stefanovic or David Koch to tell them what to do. They're actually turning off Big Brother. They're turning off My Kitchen Stinks. And they're going into the web to wade through the plethora of rubbish that's in there to find real truth. And they're finding lots of it. They're finding truth from doctors and scientists who have no vested interest in this financially, who are saying, hold the phone. Stop this nonsense. We are going down the wrong track.
Okay, we'll have to stop it there. You can hear this whole video. We'll be putting it up shortly at the site. It's just another example of mandating a kill shot for any employee, male, female, anywhere in the world. This is worldwide. Remember that. And one of the reasons I played a little bit of this is to show you how the Australian people are really suffering. We are too. And all I can say, ultimately, every time is, what is your life worth? You need to think about that. If you're facing a mandate, you need to ask yourself that question. What is my life worth? Because those are the stakes. Erica, final comment or two. What do you expect to happen here in the next month or two? Anything, any trends you're seeing?
I think we're going to continue to see more people succumb to the effects of the vax. There's already people who have gotten a third dose, the booster shot. I know there's many people eagerly awaiting their booster shot. So apparently...
Oh, my.
There are still people that need convincing.
Don't say that again. Oh, God. They're eagerly awaiting their booster shot. Fauci says every 4 months, I guess. Oh, don't forget about their two Pfizer pills every day. God, how insane does it get?
Well,
don't answer
that.
Well,
this is going to be a tremendous financial windfall. I mean, this is going to surpass the cancer industry. You know, between testing and boosters for this variant and that variant and remedies to deal with the consequences, the damage from these vaccines, it's going to be, I mean, that alone's catastrophic. You can just make millions, billions on treating the damage.
Sure.
If there's any people left.
not a tongue-in-cheek statement. Serious statement. Very serious statement. This is an industry. COVID-19 is an industry. Don't forget it. Thank you, Erica. Talk soon. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay,
night.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Erica Kahn, and you can hear all of our programs, which are, I think, as good as any on the planet as far as bringing information, presenting things for you to consider. That's what this is all about. It's called journalism. Back with you in a minute or two with hour three. So stay right there. Going down to Australia. Talk to David Oates next.